Starwind. Okay, well, welcome. And please try not to say your name or anything. Can I identify you
uh-huh.
or anything in case I drop this?
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
So, you... this interview is about entrepreneurship and innovative thinking in the human services.
Uh-huh.
So if you could tell me just a little bit about what you do and uh-huh. how you got involved in this, that would be a good place to start, perhaps.
Okay. So I answered an ad in the paper. The people who hired me were looking for someone to carry out a project that had recently been funded, and it was a project that had never been done before, so it was very experimental. And I am supposed to provide educational services to residents in public housing. And the outcome of providing those educational services is to increase the residents' self-sufficiency. So those things involve providing GED instruction, English as a second language instruction, computer literacy training, and a bunch of other things, including life skills and counseling, and anything that would help them be more self-sufficient. And the group of people is a very small group of people. It's about 600 individuals and 240 families in public housing. So I bought all the computers and I set it up in a little, you know, apartment right where the residents live. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. So they just said, here's the money. Go ahead and make it happen.
Yep, exactly. Yep, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. use your smarts, mm-hmm. figure mm-hmm. it out. Mm-hmm. We don't really mm-hmm. know what's going to work and what mm-hmm. isn't going to work. We don't know what's possible and what isn't possible, but mm-hmm. go for it and see what you can find out and see what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, had you done anything like this before?
No.
So you hadn't been in the human services before? You were
No.
Mostly in other fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have a mm-hmm. master's degree in adult education.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw the job description, mm-hmm. I was... like, oh my gosh, I'll actually get paid to do adult education? How mm-hmm. exciting. This is like the best of adult mm-hmm. education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It sounded like a dream come true. And
yeah.
And then you yeah. and then you got to set everything up. And was it a dream come true?
Well, it is in a way mm-hmm. because it feels like a paid internship.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm learning things mm-hmm. that are not in any book.
Mm-hmm.
I can use some of my adult education smarts and training
mm-hmm.
To bring to bear on the situation, but I'm continually surprised how mm-hmm. this is so much bigger than my training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so much bigger, and nobody seems to know
uh-huh.
what kind of impact can we have? In what way mm-hmm. can we have it?
Mm-hmm.
Why... You know, it's one experiment after another,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then the result is that I scratch my head, and I go, mm-hmm. why didn't that work?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here? That this isn't...
Mm-hmm.
I'm bewildered in a lot of ways, and I can't really find out from anybody else. Like, mm-hmm. I anticipated mm-hmm. that when I ran into something that bewildered me,
uh-huh.
well, I would just go out and find somebody and I'd say, hey, this is what's bewildering me. What uh-huh. do you think? What's uh-huh. going on here? And that I would find some help. Somebody
uh-huh.
would know.
Uh-huh.
And nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Uh-huh.
Everybody scratches their head.
So adult education, just to be clear, what is that? That is for, what's the definition of adult education?
It's very broad.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially the process of how adults
mm-hmm.
learn
mm-hmm.
and then how you might design programs so that adults will learn
mm-hmm.
the most meaningful things
mm-hmm.
that will impact their lives in the best way,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the mm-hmm. most effective in a way.
And so is it things along those lines that nobody knows the answers to or other parts of running the program?
It's all the other parts. I
uh-huh.
haven't even gotten to the point
mm-hmm.
where I can start using my adult
mm-hmm.
education
mm-hmm.
smarts. There's certainly, adult education does address marketing issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to have people come to your programs
mm-hmm.
if the program doesn't immediately impact on the things that participants see as relevant to
mm-hmm.
their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge adult education principle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm spending a lot of my time going, so what are the things that will directly, immediately impact those things that adults here feel are meaningful and relevant to their lives?
Mm-hmm.
I assumed when I started this, well, You just ask them. Adults are smart. They mm-hmm. are their own best. They mm-hmm. are the resident expert on themselves and what's relevant. Mm-hmm. I myself as an educator can't say, well, you need to find your credit report. You know, that's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. That's what's mm-hmm. going to be the most useful to you. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think, I might think, well, maybe that would help them. But they are the expert in whether that's really going to be immediately relevant to them or not. Mm-hmm. I think that in my position here, I'm really feeling this gulf where I am not from here. Mm-hmm. I'm not Hispanic. I'm not African American. I was not raised in poverty someplace else. I really have no earthly idea what is going to be relevant to them. I also do not have, I'm not very well equipped to find out from them what they think is going to be relevant to them. And they themselves probably don't know either. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They probably have a better idea than I have, but mm-hmm. there's a lot that they don't know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I, like that is the part, I feel like my task right now is to figure out what is going to be most relevant to them, mm-hmm. what do they think is going to be most relevant to them, and then provide those things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know if my grant will allow me to provide those things. I have heard from people, when you're working with people who've been living in generation after generation of poverty, you must provide food, you must provide transportation, you must provide stuff for their kids. Food, transportation, money, stuff for kids. Clothing is in there too, but it's not as big as those three things. Because people who live in generational poverty live in this life of the tyranny of the moment, where it's crisis after crisis, they're constantly trying to get very immediate needs met. So forget about education. They don't have time or mental space to think ahead or think in the abstract. They're just like, well, okay, they've cut off my utilities and my cupboards are bare. The food pantry is open until 3. I've got to go to the food pantry first. Rats, the bus doesn't get me there until 5:30. Mm-hmm. I've got to call my friend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get her out of work so that she can give me a ride there. I mean, with all of that chaos going on, they don't have time to think ahead about mm-hmm. educational goals. Mm-hmm. So I have heard from other people that what you need to do is say, look, come to my educational program. I will provide food. We'll have a meal. I've got some food you can take home to your kids mm-hmm. when you're done. Here's a bus token to get you home, or I'll give you a ride. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then once you've got all those things covered, then you can do your educational mm-hmm. program mm-hmm. and hopefully have some educational impact. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I don't have money in my grant mm-hmm. for those things. And I'm not sure, but I think I understand that I am forbidden from spending my money on precisely those things.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's interesting. I wonder, yeah. Do you have any, does that make you... have certain thoughts about who funds the program and why they forbid those things?
Yeah, I think that the people who are designing, who designed the grant and the program mm-hmm. don't have any earthly idea what it's like because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. they haven't been here. Mm-hmm. I myself am in that situation as well. I've got all these great theories about, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. adult education, but it's not informed by people who live in poverty day after day. Mm-hmm. Until now. Now I'm starting to be a little informed mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. For example, there is a woman who lives here whose English is terrible. Mm-hmm. And all she wants to do is take an English as a second language class. She's been doing that now for years, every single morning diligently, 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, she does it all the time. Well, now her public assistance funding, the rules have changed, and now they've said no class. If you get food stamps, there's no class. So now she can't go to class anymore, yet she can't speak English well enough to produce on the job, but they make her go to this work experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, okay, what she really needs to be productive is English. Mm-hmm. The people who are giving her money, saying we want you to be more self-sufficient so that we don't have to give you money, mm-hmm. are cutting her off from the very thing that's going to give her any hope of being self-sufficient so that she mm-hmm. can work. And they're just sending her to jobs mm-hmm. for work experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, how can I help her? Well, I can't help her in the morning because she has to go to this work experience. Mm-hmm. I can't help her in the afternoon because she has her kids to pick up from school and, mm-hmm. you know, get them squared away and whatever. And then the day is over. Mm-hmm. I can't help her. Mm-hmm. There's no way I have access to her. As much mm-hmm. as she wants to learn, as diligent as she has been in getting mm-hmm. her English classes, the system has now determined that she can't have English classes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to put a face on who decided that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I can only imagine it's somebody really like me mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. who you know, who's off in an office somewhere who doesn't mm-hmm. have any earthly idea mm-hmm. how that impacts people. Mm-hmm. They have some theory that, well, people have to earn their, mm-hmm. you know, their assistance or whatever mm-hmm. without mm-hmm. knowing, like, what exactly does that mean? Mm-hmm. So I think one of the reasons I'm excited about having you interview me about this mm-hmm. is because mm-hmm. I think that there are people who make these funding decisions that if they only knew, they would change that. They'd say, mm-hmm. oh, well, of course we have to provide mm-hmm. money for food. Mm-hmm. This is why it's important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hmm. So you've been... This was a tough learning experience.
It's really mm-hmm. hard. Mm-hmm. If I didn't care... Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be tough. Mm-hmm. I'd just be like, mm-hmm. oh, whatever, I'm learning new stuff every day. Mm-hmm. But I really care.
Yeah.
So every day I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have people coming in here. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they coming in here? I've got 11 computers. Nobody's using them. Mm-hmm. People have desperate needs. Mm-hmm. Surely mm-hmm. I can help, mm-hmm. but I don't know how.
Yeah. But you have tried some things that have been sort of successful.
Yeah, a couple things mm-hmm. have been successful. Mm-hmm. I thought about what these people told me about meeting immediate needs, mm-hmm. and it was around the holidays, mm-hmm. and I thought, oh, I could provide, say, books mm-hmm. as Christmas gifts for their kids. Maybe mm-hmm. that would get them to come in. So that was pretty successful. I mm-hmm. did get quite a few people, mm-hmm. Probably maybe 34 people were mm-hmm. kind of touched by that program, mm-hmm. the parents and the kids. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of successful.
And how did you get the word out about that?
That is a great question. This is the other huge challenge of mine, mm-hmm. is trying to communicate mm-hmm. with residents. In that case, how did that happen? There was a woman, there's a woman here, a resident, mm-hmm. who does a Christmas giveaway every year. Mm-hmm. She's a longtime resident. Mm-hmm. So she was doing this Christmas giveaway, and she told people who came by her place mm-hmm. to get their gift card that they could come over here and pick up a book. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's where I got most of my people, mm-hmm. because she told them.
Mm-hmm. And people trust her.
Yeah.
She's a resident, so she's low income herself.
Yeah.
And how does she support her giveaway?
She goes out, you know, it's a good question, I'm not exactly sure, but I think she goes out and she gets donations. I think it was from a local grocery store mm-hmm. who, like, they have a history and mm-hmm. a tradition of doing mm-hmm. this. So mm-hmm. she goes to that local grocery store, she talks to the owner, you know, mm-hmm. so what should we do about this year's, uh-huh. you know, giveaway? Mm-hmm. And he says, okay, this year I could do this much, and mm-hmm. let's do it in the form of a gift card.
And it's food mostly, so it's a food
giveaway. I think it was food, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was mm-hmm. food, mm-hmm. a gift card for food.
So you found her, you heard about her?
Yeah, I heard about her through, you know, our larger organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, contacts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I also got my phone list mm-hmm. of all, I have a database of all the residents who live here, mm-hmm. their addresses, their phone numbers, their age, all kinds of things about them. So I did a query for mm-hmm. all the households that had kids under a certain age, mm-hmm. and I phoned all those households. I sat down with the phone and I went through the laborious process of mm-hmm. dialing all those people. Mm-hmm. Well over 50% mm-hmm. had phone numbers that were disconnected hmm. or no longer in service. Hmm. And so it was, now, despite that, I contacted a couple of people, mm-hmm. and it was hugely successful in my mm-hmm. mind because I chatted with these people for like 30 minutes on the phone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of them said, oh yeah, I'm really interested. I cannot leave the house. I've got two little kids. One of them's napping now. The other one is up, so I can't come now. Maybe I'll come later. Mm-hmm. You know, and they never came because mm-hmm. they were kind of housebound because mm-hmm. of kids. Other people said, oh yeah, I'll come, and they just never did, and I don't know mm-hmm. why. One person wanted to come, but she works during the day, so she can't get here mm-hmm. before the end of the workday. Mm-hmm. I ended up delivering books to her personally. I just mm-hmm. went to her house, and I mm-hmm. left the books mm-hmm. in her door with a note attached saying, it was nice mm-hmm. talking to you. Here are the books. Mm-hmm. I cannot do mailings. I have no money for postage. Uh-huh. I tried piggybacking on mm-hmm. other mailings that my larger organization does. Mm-hmm. That worked for two mailings, and they cut me off. Mm-hmm. They won't let me do it anymore because it mm-hmm. slowed down their mailing. Mm-hmm. So I cannot communicate with residents mm-hmm. by mailed items because there's no money. Mm-hmm. A lot of residents do not read. Mm-hmm. If they see that come through, it won't grab their attention because they mm-hmm. don't see it as immediately relevant to their mm-hmm. needs, and mm-hmm. they throw it away. Mm-hmm. The few people who do pay attention to it, they work all day. They can't get here before we close. Mm-hmm. I can't keep evening hours mm-hmm. because when I accepted the job, it was under the understanding that I'm only available until mm-hmm. 5 o'clock at the latest. Mm-hmm. I don't have money to hire a person for evening hours. Mm-hmm. So telephone communication is extremely problematic. Mm-hmm. Written communication, I have tried a lot of, I have not gotten anywhere, and consistency and hours and being mm-hmm. open when people mm-hmm. can come is extremely problematic mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. And you said you even, had you tried sort of door-to-door-ish type things? Or tried to...
Yes, I've done that too. Uh-huh. Yep, I've done door-to-door where I do a printed material drop mm-hmm. that takes me 3 hours, mm-hmm. and that was in the summer. Mm-hmm. And it just did not result in anyone mm-hmm. coming through the door. Mm-hmm. When people do come through the door, I ask them, so, how did you hear about us? Mm-hmm. What brought you here today? Most of the time, they don't say, oh, I had your flyer. Mm-hmm. There have been a handful of times, I think maybe 3 or 4 times that people have come through saying, I saw your flyer.
Mm-hmm. And what do they say? How do they hear about it?
Well, the one time for the Christmas books, they knew because of this other mm-hmm. woman mm-hmm. who was also doing a giveaway, and they sent... Mm-hmm. those people here. Mm-hmm. A couple times, like I said, it was because they had the flyer and they dropped by. Mm-hmm. Another time, it was another service provider in the neighborhood who brought his client here. He walked mm-hmm. here with her. Mm-hmm. Hmm. The others, I don't really know. I mean, they seem to drop in. Mainly, it's kids who mm-hmm. come who don't have anything else to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with adults, you know, they might come once or twice. They don't come back again. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is. Mm-hmm. I can't even communicate with them to find out. Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to say, I want to make sure that I say this now before I forget, because mm-hmm. I think it's really significant, sure. is that I did those drop-offs, you know, the door-to-door in the summertime. By the way, when I go door-to-door, sometimes I have talked with people, and that's been really, like, rich learning for me. Mm-hmm. Again, it hasn't resulted in them actually coming here to do anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There are a lot of shootings in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They are drive-by, mm-hmm. like they're, you know, drive-by kind of shootings. Mm-hmm. And it is a real problem for me to do, mm-hmm. to walk around the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and meet people. Mm-hmm. I one time had a program here. A woman came to it, mm-hmm. and then she had to leave in the middle of it, and she said, you guys be really careful, by the way. Mm-hmm. When I was on my way down here, I came out of my house and somebody said to me, get back inside. Mm-hmm. And I said, "What? Why would I get back inside? There's going to be some stuff going down here. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. her response to them mm-hmm. was, would you please wait? My kids are coming home in the next 30 minutes. Would you please wait until the kids come home from school? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she went home, made sure her kids were okay, then she came back here. Mm-hmm. Huh. And I asked her, well, did you call the police? Should we call the police? We can pick up the phone now. Mm-hmm. And the look on her face said, oh my goodness, do not do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is. I mm-hmm. couldn't even engage in a conversation with her about it mm-hmm. because I didn't want her to think, oh no, I told Jennifer this thing. I told this thing and mm-hmm. I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. I can't mm-hmm. trust her. I shouldn't. I'm not going to go back there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now it's kind of quiet because mm-hmm. of the cold. I guess that's cyclical. Mm-hmm. But in the summertime, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a block from here, mm-hmm. there will be shootings. I can hear them. One day, my mm-hmm. staff and I ended up under the desk because we heard yelling mm-hmm. and somebody saying, "Get down, get down." Mm-hmm. And so we got down. We got under this desk and we sat there until it was quiet outside. And we don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. We don't know if there was any, and we didn't hear any shooting, but, you know, we were scared. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to work in that environment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to people about that around here, mm-hmm. you know, they just live with it.
Mm. Wow, awesome.
You know, some people ask them, well, so when you go home, like, do you tell your spouse that? Do you tell your spouse that, you know, earlier today we were setting up the computers and there was shooting 2 blocks from here and we could hear it and we saw the police cars go by? Oh, no, I don't tell my spouse that. Why don't you tell your spouse? Oh, I don't want her to worry. Uh-huh. But yet you feel uh-huh. okay coming here. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. It'll never happen to me. Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. It's nerve-wracking, to say the least.
Yeah. Those are the people with your organization that work through. Goodness.
Yeah.
Well, you also shared a story about a woman in a food pantry who'd been working there for 7 years.
Yes, 7 years she had been there. Mm-hmm. Every single week at this food pantry, mm-hmm. hundreds of people would come by. Mm-hmm. So they knew her, they'd seen her after, you know, many years of seeing that she was not going to cut them down or steal them of their dignity mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm. you know, do anything bad to them. She would try to get them to participate in this nutrition class. Mm-hmm. She gave them, she stood in the food pantry line and mm-hmm. she would talk to people and say, you know, I'm having this nutrition class mm-hmm. and there's a $20 gift card mm-hmm. for the food store just up the block. Mm-hmm. All you have to do to get the food card is to sit through 30 minutes of my nutrition class. Mm-hmm. And it's right over here. Just get the food that you were going to get, you know, finish with the line, and then come over here and sit and mm-hmm. for 30 minutes listen to mm-hmm. the nutrition thing, and then I'll give you, you know, the $20. Mm-hmm. And out of hundreds of people, she had 2 people sign up. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, so why do you think, what was it about those 2 people? How long had those 2 people been coming there? Oh, mm-hmm. about 4 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 4 years. And they mm-hmm. trusted her enough to say, oh, this will be fine. This will be worth my time. Mm-hmm. Everybody else was like, no way.
Goodness.
And I asked her, well, what are they afraid is going to happen? She thinks they're afraid that they're going to be put down and told that they're stupid or, you know, stolen of their mm-hmm. dignity in some way. And mm-hmm. that it will be very unpleasant and humiliating mm-hmm. for them, I guess. Now I'm putting words in her mouth. But mm-hmm. So all those people, all those hundreds of people who came mm-hmm. through the line didn't mm-hmm. even want $20, mm-hmm. not for 30 minutes of sitting through a class. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, to me, raises a ton of questions. Yeah. Number one, in my position, how am I going to bring people in here mm-hmm. when those are the kind of obstacles I'm working with? Mm-hmm. And my goodness, those people, how can you help them if that's the kind of experience they have? Mm-hmm. Where they're, you know, it just raises all kinds of questions.
Right. Huh. So do you have any ideas for what you're going to try in the future? Brainstorming ideas for things that...
Well, definitely, I think one is that because people can't, because my residents have all these very formidable obstacles to planning ahead, thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to just inject a little education on a passing target. Mm-hmm. You know, if they come in and anybody who comes in, you know, I can tell them about the programs we offer, but if they happen to mention, you know, I wanted to get this loan, then I can use the opportunity to say, oh, if you've got 5 minutes, we can get your credit report. Mm-hmm. And show them how to get their credit report. Mm-hmm. And by the way, inject, it's a good idea to do this 3 times a year. It's free. Mm-hmm. This is how you do it. And then you can keep up on identity theft mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. you do it 3 times a year. With kids, we're trying to send home flyers and information about programs with the kids and tell mm-hmm. them if you come back with this thing signed by your parents, mm-hmm. you get something special. I don't know what that something special is going to be yet, but we're also insisting that when the kids come by, if we tell the kids, when you come by, it has to be for homework, they won't come.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is just saying, sure, you can come in now. Before you do that game or whatever it is that you want to do online, we want you to do 20 minutes of typing or this internet scavenger hunt, or, you know, give them a kind of a menu of a quick 20-minute educational activity, and then they can do what they want for 20 minutes.
And do they go for that?
Yeah, they really go
for
it. They
don't ever leave?
No, no, they've never left. Yeah. They complain, you know, and they'll constantly try to, when you're not looking, they'll try to quick do something else, and, you know, so you have to, like, watch them like a hawk, but they do it, and some of the kids have really liked it. Some of the kids have done up to, I think the longest thing was a 45-minute game where they did like a investing simulation with dice.
Oh, well, interesting.
And they loved it. Huh. Yeah, they really liked it.
And where do you get those simulations and games and scavenger hunts from?
That was from a service provider. That wasn't my own idea. That was somebody who also has a grant to provide financial instruction to marginalized individuals. And so she comes in and she has those things, and we put our heads together, and she says, oh, well, how about this? How about if, you know, I can just be, you know, in one room, and when they come in, you know, we can offer them a choice. They can do this game with me, or they can do the other thing, and they get something special if they do the game with me. Yeah, so it's been her, she has those things.
So you're sort of teaming up with her. She's coming to use your facility. Yeah. That was something you also mentioned with regard to, you know, you can't, with your grant, provide food. But you had mentioned trying to team up with others that can.
Yep. Yeah, which I really want to do more of, but it's been really hard to get those partners. I mean, the idea is that I would get partners to come in here, but of course, they're also saying, well, how many people do you have? And I say, well, I don't have anybody yet. I don't have any programs. And they're like, well, I don't want it. When you have people, then I'll come, you know, then I'll...
They'll come give food out. Is that the idea? They would come give food out here?
Well, yeah. For example, I have a partnership with Healthy Start, and they can provide food, and I can't. So they have been coming every week, and they provide education for a mom's group, and they provide food. I don't know how long they'll be able to do that, but they're unique. I haven't found anybody else who's been able to do that. And I don't know how much longer they'll be able to do it.
And that, and you find with food, though, more people do come? Or is it, how do you get the word out that there's food?
Well, I don't have a lot of experience to go on because it hasn't happened that many times. The first time we did this mom's group, the Healthy Start people produced a flyer. It's right there. And that was when I could do a mailing. I could piggyback on this other mailing. And we got 2 people. And in that flyer, we said, this is the day it's going to be. There's a... Actually, it doesn't say it on there. I guess it was... refreshments will be served. Everyone attending will get a free gift card for groceries. And we got 2 participants for that. That was our most successful mom's group so far.
So it's just so hard to get people to come out.
Yeah.
And you don't know, do you know if people maybe don't need the services? Is it possible that they don't need, or they feel they don't need anything?
I think it's very possible.
But this is an area of high need.
Yes.
Very, very low income.
Yes. I mean, their needs are enormous. Absolutely enormous. And to even have a conversation with them. Like, my adult education training told me, you sit down with people and you ask them, well, what do you need? And then I will use my resources to bring to bear on what you see as your needs. But I can't even have that conversation with people. And I think it's because of this, what I learned, you know, about the food pantry and the nutrition class, is that they won't even tell you because they're so used to being beaten down and told that they're dumb or, you know, inadequate, that they won't even talk honestly with me because, you know, who am I? I'm not from here. I'm not, I mean, I'm clearly not from here. Mm-hmm. I'm clearly not someone who's grown up in poverty, probably in their eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know anything about me, but just mm-hmm. one look at me and, mm-hmm. you know, right. why would they tell me anything that's true?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, because I'm an employee of this organization, maybe they think, oh, you know, don't tell her the truth because maybe, you know, you'll get called in and do a, you know, reevaluate the terms of your lease.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what they think. I don't know what kind of consequences might befall them if they tell me certain things. You know what I mean?
Right. And so, and there's no real way to find out? That doesn't come up in conversations?
There's no real way to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't been so far. If I could talk to residents, mm-hmm. like lengthy conversations over time, and I could slowly build that, you know, that trust, mm-hmm. at least with a small group of people, mm-hmm. then maybe they'd tell their friends and say, oh, you know, she's all right. You can mm-hmm. talk to her. You can go down there. She's, mm-hmm. you know, she's all right. Nothing bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't even begin. So far, I haven't mm-hmm. begun to be able to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I would love to go door to door and say, I'm having lunch at my place. Can you come, you know, just you and three of your girlfriends, mm-hmm. will you come have lunch with me on Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
I've got beef stew. I've mm-hmm. got, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, good. We'll have a nice meal and, you know, we'll just chat. But I can't do that. Yeah. I feel like that's what it would take.
But they won't. Oh, but you don't have the food.
I don't have the food. I can't even make food here. This is another huge, crazy making barrier. I've got a kitchen. And I'm not allowed to prepare food for anybody because of liability, because my kitchen is not FDA approved, and if anybody ever got sick, we could get sued.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
So I can't even show people how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show them how to make bread because I have figured out how to make bread for like 70 cents a loaf without any planning or labor. I mean, what a boon this might be to people.
Yeah.
I can't show them how to do it. I mean, I could actually show them, but then I couldn't let them eat anything
that
I make.
Right.
And then I don't have money to, like, buy the flour for them.
Right.
The flour, the yeast, the bowl, you know.
Right.
I can't even, like, get them a care package to send them home and do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have the money for it.
Hmm.
And that's the way I'm going to do the marketing, is to, like, show people, demonstrate to people in a concrete way that they will benefit in an immediate sense by interacting with me. And then they'll say, oh, really? Well, maybe I'd do an Excel class. You know, maybe I'll do some typing. Maybe I'll, you know, whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm expressing myself very well, but...
No, definitely. It seems like an untenable position.
It seems impossible to me. Just impossible.
You'd think other people would have run into similar problems in the past and come up with solutions?
Right. And the, like, huge, I think even more than all the bewildering things and challenges that I've already described, that astounds me. How is it that nobody knows this? No one in my organization seems to know it. It seems to be new information. I have some theories about it. I think one is that the people who typically tend to do what I'm doing are not listened to, and they're not paid attention to. You know, I'm fortunate in that, well, I have a master's degree, so I think I command a certain amount of respect, and people will listen to me because... they think, oh, well, she must know what she's talking about. Whereas the next person might be like, I think sometimes people are like, oh, that person is not getting participants into their program, and it's because we think that they're not competent. You know? And I don't see other people doing my job. I don't see them as incompetent. I see them as a special area of knowledge, and I want to pick their brains. They know. Why is it that I'm the only one who recognizes that they know, that they have something to contribute? You know what I mean? Now, this person I was talking about the nutrition class and the food pantry, I think she's a little different because she has a master's degree and she's been doing this for a long time. Yet, her director and her board, they don't get it. When she says to them, when she explains that same experience to them, they say, well, come on, you gotta, you know, why don't you have anybody in your like, it's hard for her to explain to them, this is what it's like. They, because they haven't done what she does. You know what I'm saying? And then no one, and honestly, I mean, I think no one's doing research on this. And if somebody, you know, if we had more research on it, you know, hopefully we could get it, you know, more widely known. But there also don't seem to be systems here. I get the feeling that, I mean, I'm not from Syracuse, but I kind of get the feeling that in Syracuse, things are run like a family is run. I don't know. Ask Dad. You know, yesterday he said no, but, you know, today maybe he's in a good mood. You know, maybe he'll say yes. Dad said yes. Quick, let's do it before he changes his mind. You know, I feel like sometimes things are kind of run that way here. For GED, for example, I have a lot of kids coming through here. Like the really intrepid ones who will drop in and actually talk to me. Jennifer, what can we do about our GED? You know, I'm not in high school anymore and I want to get my GED. What can I do? And I go, oh, well, why aren't you in high school anymore? Well, I don't know. They told me to leave. Okay, well, I don't question them any further because I want them to trust me, right? And I say, well, this is what I offer in terms of GED, and, you know, you're under 21, so my understanding is that you can't participate in this program because you're under 21, and I don't know where else you can go, so I'll try to find out for you. Well, then I've lost them. They're not going to come back. They're not going to talk to me again. So then I get on the phone, and I call everybody I know. I have this person who's under 21, and they want to do their GED. Where can I send them? And I can't get an answer. How is it that in a city the size of Syracuse, there is no... I mean, I thought I could just go to a webpage and say, GED in Syracuse, and I could find out what are the options. I can't do that. And when I talk to people who are in the education system, they don't know either. It's really like hit or miss and haphazard. And well, I don't know, I guess you... Why don't you call my friend Janie over at, you know, XYZ organization? She might know something about it. And then I'll call Janie over at XYZ and I'll say, well, so-and-so told me I might call you and this is my situation. Do you know anything about that? Well, I don't know. You know, you might call EOC. EOC has a program. I don't know if they do under 21 or not. Why wouldn't they do under 21? Well, I don't know. You're asking me. I have no idea, you know. You know, so I feel like I could spend my, 3 years of grant time doing a research project on people who fall through the GED, you know, and I sure don't have time to do that. Why isn't there, like, citywide resources that already know that, that can just inform me? And then I can inform my, you know, the kids who come through.
Wow, so, something I wanted to ask about that. But, one of the 1960s sort of emphases, before we get into that, are there other programs around that are getting people, and what do they do, and how do they get them? Have you noticed, are there programs around that get people?
There are, I guess, and I have not had time to interview those people extensively. One of the reasons I think that it's hard for me to compete for the residents here is that, you know, their needs are huge. In fact, I had this one gal whose kids were interested in coming here. She came, I knew her because she came to get a Christmas book. And then she came back again to talk about GED. She came back another time to do her resume. Then she ended up sending her kids to do, you know, something on the computers. And then the last time I called her to tell her about a program, and her kids are now in an after-school program. Because hit or miss here a couple times a week is not what they need. What they really need is something more, you know, concrete, every day, more regular while, you know, while she's working. So now they're in this really good after-school program, and they're getting what they need there. Much more than I could, get them what they need here. But it's a really good question, and I wonder that for those places that really get the participants, number one, who are they? Will I have access to those people that I could find out from them? What do you think, you know, makes, you know, people come here? I think a big part of it, from what I'm gleaning, is the people who have computer labs like mine, and they get people to come, mm-hmm. it's after 5 o'clock mm-hmm. in the evening. It's in the evenings. That's when the after school stuff is done, and mm-hmm. they can sometimes get kids to come in after the after school stuff. Mm-hmm. That's when adults sometimes, you know, have stopped working. And I think we should do that here,
yeah.
but I don't know how to make it happen because mm-hmm. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
When I accepted the job, I asked specifically about that. I've right. got childcare right. until 5:30. I'm not available right. after that. Right. You know, will that work? Will that yeah. be okay? Yeah. And they assured me, yes, that'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's the case. Yeah. I think we need somebody here in the evenings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't have money to hire anyone in
mm-hmm.
the evenings.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So I would, and then the other person that I've talked to extensively, she tells me, if you're going to get people into your programs, you have to provide food, you have to provide money, you have to provide mm-hmm. transportation, and it has to be an extended relationship over a long period of time. You won't make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get, you've got to develop trust and rapport with people first.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a long time.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with 600 people in
yeah.
a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You've got to handpick them. And, I mean, you have to handpick them and they have to handpick you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So you've got to find a way to talk with them. And mm-hmm. every time you talk with them, you've got to provide something to lighten their load.
Mm-hmm. And you had, and it's not always easy to make contact. I mean, you had mentioned someone who was sort of the president of the residence organization.
Yeah.
And you tried to reach out to her.
It's been mm-hmm. very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much time we have. I mean, should I go into detail about
sure,
that?
Sure, if you want. Yeah, we have like 20 more minutes.
Okay, all right. All right, so I'll try to keep this as anonymous as possible.
Mm-hmm.
She's president of the tenant mm-hmm. association, and she's very politically active all over town,
mm-hmm.
and she's a resident in this project.
Mm-hmm.
She has been, from, I don't know her very well myself. I've had like 3 or 4 meetings with her. What I know of her, I've mainly heard from other people. And it's all been complaints.
Mm-hmm.
She's extremely problematic, Jennifer. Watch yourself with her, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Do not cross her. She will make your life absolutely miserable. She will undermine your whole program.
Mm-hmm.
Things like this.
Mm-hmm.
I approached her in the way that my adult education and my common sense told me to approach mm-hmm. her, which mm-hmm. was, you know, I'm really happy to meet you. I'm really excited about this project. You know, I really need your help because you know people. What do you, you know, let's do this together. What do you think we should do? You know, tell me, what do you think? And, you know, I can help do that. And she will not be forthcoming with ideas, but she's very forthcoming with complaints. And I've had to say to her, well, you know, I don't know anything about that. All of that happened before I was ever hired. All I know is that we have this money to do these certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can we do with that? Well, that's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When people aren't involved in the programming and the planning,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to see that place as theirs and they're not going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand that. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the situation we're in. You know, they weren't consulted in the mm-hmm. planning of this. But now that we're here,
mm-hmm.
and given that limitation, what can we do from here? Well, you know, again, no ideas are forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her once at a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
She never calls me. You know, I have to constantly go after her. I saw her once by accident at a meeting, and I approached her, and I said, oh, you know, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just chatting mm-hmm. and trying to chat with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, you know, that I had opened the center, and she said, you did? Well, that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she'd be happy. She
mm-hmm.
wants residents
mm-hmm.
to get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She wants them to be helped. And her response to me is, well, that was a mistake that I opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at her, you know, kind of flabbergasted, and I said, oh, why do you think that is, you know? And she said, well, I thought we were going to have a big grand opening. And I thought, I don't remember ever having a discussion about having a big grand opening. She's never said this to me before. Why is she saying it now? Whatever. Great. Well, if you think that would be a good idea, let's do it. You know, when should we talk about that? And then she came, you know, a couple weeks later to talk about a grand opening. And I massively offended her. We were talking about food. I was trying to say, well, you know, when do you think we, you know, should have this grand opening? What do you have in mind? You know, what can I do to make that happen? And I asked her something about food, and she said, she got very annoyed. Well, when you have a community party, what do you have at your community parties? I'm going to let it go. And I said, I thought to myself, I do not want to tell her that we have hummus and whole wheat pita bread. You know what I mean? And I said, well, I mean, I also didn't want to tell her, when was the last time I went to a community party?
Hello, you have reached the James Guest computer.
So I,
so you hummus and whole wheat pita.
Yeah, and I thought, well, this dialogue is not going anywhere. And I just threw out a couple of options. Well, you know, I don't know, we have coffee, lemonade, popcorn, and she was so annoyed with me. Well, if you are just going to have this party because you think that's what I want, I don't want to have any part of it. I wash my hands of this. You do what you want. And then, you know, we talked about a couple other things and she left. So here is my one entree to the residence. And I can't even, in my estimation, it's been extremely difficult to begin to have a constructive conversation with her to have things happen. Now, after that meeting, I thought, ugh, you know, what do I do? Whatever. I wrote her a card, and I said, I'm afraid that I have offended you. I am sorry if anything I said was offensive. It is not my intention, you know, to be disrespectful. I understand what you're saying, that participants need to be involved. I also want that. I can't do this alone. I really need your help. Please accept my apologies. I gave her that card. Well, that went over well. I know that it went over well because she called me after that, like a couple weeks later, and she said, I got your card. I think we're on the same page. So that's my evidence that I guess it went over well, you know, but I haven't talked with her since.
And she hasn't come back to help plan a grand opening or anything like that?
No.
Yeah. And is she well connected with her other residents?
Well, I don't know.
She's the president.
Yes, she's the president of the Tenant Association. She's also, like, the head of the Tenant Association for this project. I mean, the whole housing authority. She's the head of that board.
Okay.
She's also the head of, like, this. But there's no one on her board. So I think, okay, so she's well-connected in some ways, yet no one participates on her decision-making group for this project.
And they're supposed to be.
So then I think, is she alienating other residents, and how will I find out?
Right, right.
I don't really have any way to know. I can't ask her. Another weird thing to show just how problematic this is, she has two apartments. Housing gave her two apartments for her own programming. Those two apartments have been utterly unused for years and years. She doesn't even let maintenance come in to do an inspection or to fix anything or anything at all. And she's been allowed to do this. There are rumors, unsubstantiated rumors, that she has boxes of brand new computers in there that have never been opened, and those computers are 5 years old. So she is my one entree to the residence. and it's highly problematic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I scratch my head and I go, I just don't know how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I mean, you also, I mean, in the 60s, there was this idea of hiring people from the community mm-hmm. to get greater involvement. And you tried this.
I did, yes. Mm-hmm. I tried this. I hired, the first person I hired was a resident. Mm-hmm. This person, mm-hmm. who has the two apartments, who's very mm-hmm. problematic, mm-hmm. she was furious with me mm. for hiring this person
hmm.
because she doesn't live in these units. She mm. lives in the other units in the same project, mm-hmm. but in these particular other units.
That are not served by the grant.
That are not served by mm-hmm. the grant, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, okay, I can't win. mm-hmm. I did hire another. The other person I hired is a resident from these units. Mm-hmm. And both, I like both of them very much. They're working out very well. Mm-hmm. However, there is a rule mm-hmm. in the grant that I can only spend 5% of the total grant on salaries for residents, mm-hmm. which translates into 20 hours a week mm-hmm. in resident salaries. Well, for 20 hours a week, I have two rooms, so I need to have them here at the same time mm-hmm. so that one person can monitor the downstairs and mm-hmm. one person can monitor the upstairs. Mm-hmm. And that's 10 hours.
That's it.
That is 10 hours of open time.
Hmm.
And that doesn't include, you know, like all their paperwork that they need to do, having the, you know, they have a participant sign-in sheet uh-huh. and, you know, they distribute earphones and
right,
you know they
right.
do all this stuff and you know in 10 hours each a uh-huh. week. Now if I had those other two apartments
uh-huh.
that the woman has that I told you about
uh-huh.
I might have one big room. We could monitor it with one person
because
you could see everybody at once,
right?
But we can't get in there for reasons that are well beyond my control or understanding.
So it's because of this room, this location.
Yeah.
And they can't do the after-hours, the after 5 hours.
They could, mm-hmm. but I couldn't.
And you have to be here.
I don't really have to be here, but mm-hmm. it's problematic if I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I have to talk with them. As we develop the programs, right. I'm very dependent on what they tell me
right.
about what do people say, what do they mm-hmm. do when they get here, mm-hmm. what are the problems, what do they suggest that we do to, mm-hmm. you know, deal with those problems. Mm-hmm. So I need to talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
And at 10 hours a week, there's just no time left
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they could do some evening, you know, the evening hours, but then, like, how will I talk to them outside of those evening hours,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no wiggle room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that's a challenge there. Yeah.
That is a huge challenge, yep.
Well, another thing was you had mentioned managing volunteers. You have some volunteers to come, are supposed to come and provide sort of life skills training and things like that.
Yeah, those are partners.
Those are partners.
Yeah.
But in a sense, they're not paid to do it.
No, there's one partner who is kind of paid. She came with another person who's a student. Now, the student would be a volunteer. I guess you would call mm-hmm. that student
mm-hmm.
a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there hasn't been consistency to get mm-hmm. anything regular going. I don't even know how to contact her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, because one of the reasons I ask is because in I've seen in parts of the literature one of the challenges of sort of running a nonprofit program is oftentimes if you are dependent on volunteers, it's difficult to manage them. For instance, when you said that, you know, these people haven't showed up. They said they were going to show up and then they didn't show up.
Yep.
What recourse do you have?
Right. Do I tell them next time? No, they can't come.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I have no recourse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're doing it out of their, you know, goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I set up a program. I tell, you know, I publicize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come and the service provider just isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can I do but send a polite email? Oh, we missed you the other day, mm-hmm. and I hope mm-hmm. everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah. I know that her, you know, her life is probably as chaotic as anybody else's, mm-hmm. and she had other things come up, you know, somebody with more immediate needs that, you know, needed her attention. So it's really, been problematic. Other service providers and or volunteers, you know, people who would provide their services for free, you know, their resources are as limited as mine, and they can't afford to send somebody out here if there's not going to be any participants that they can count. So they'll say, as soon as you have participants coming, we'd be happy to send somebody. So let us know when you have participants coming. And I'm going, I'm not going to have participants coming until I have something to offer. So it's this vicious cycle.
All right. Well, what would you say, you know, now from in hindsight, what would you make the federal government grant-making structure offer to make this work?
Oh, you know what I think would be great? Is if we could put our smarts together and say, we could get with the residents first and say, well, what kind of additional programs would you like offered here in this organization? What times of day? With all the detail, what times of day would work? How would we communicate with people? How would we promote that? Once we have that plan, we'd write it up, attach dollar amounts, we'd send it off to the funder, and we'd say, this is a program that the residents are really interested in. Based on our experience, we think that this could work. And for a pilot, we'd like this small amount of money to test it out and see if that would really go. And we would like the money by May 1st. And then they would say, great, fantastic, we'll send you a check right now.
That's your dream.
That is my dream. I think that's what, you know, that is something that would work. But Short of that, if the funders would have an understanding that people living in generational poverty have these immediate needs, you can't reach them unless you provide these other things. So allow us to provide those things. And certainly an evaluation, I mean, because it's all an experiment, if we knew that we could tell them all about these things that we're learning, these obstacles and barriers, as part of our evaluation process and have that count toward us instead of against us, that would be very helpful. Which, of course, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
They want us to know ahead of time how it's going to work, and then we'd better stick to it or we get a demerit.
Well, a lot of this, what it's been, you know, when the premises of what I'm researching is social entrepreneurship. And, you know, not always things, you know, a lot of entrepreneurship in the business world doesn't just boom and start making a profit right away. There's a lot of struggle. And so that's a major, you know, important issue. That's one reason I find this very helpful. How would you define social entrepreneurship?
I would define it as innovative, figuring out innovative programs to meet a previously unmet need. And, you know, whatever context that happens to be. So, you know, measured in human impact, measured in terms of human well-being instead of profit.
All right, great. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I can't think of anything at the moment. I think I told you everything that I've been dying to tell. I mean, I really am dying to tell somebody all these things. I can tell people in like haphazard ways, but it's such a huge problem. I think I'm stumbling on something that is unknown, and I really want it to be known, so I'm really so happy to have this interview and tell you all about it.
Great.
I really don't. I feel like there's very little I can do in my position except to be observant and tell people about it, you know, who aren't here. That's the best I can do. And then hope that somebody else can bring something to bear on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
All right.